Welcome to the Euro Hockey Institute podcast, in conversation with the biggest names in sport, generating insight and engagement around coaching, officiating, and playing hockey. Presented by Jack Rolfe.
My name is Tin. I'm 33. I'm from Croatia. I started playing hockey when I was 10 years old in Croatia. And basically from then on, I was hooked. Over the years, I had, I played for the national team. I coached in the lower leagues in Croatia, which connected me to, I would say, Sportways as a company, and with Thomas Tickleman, that later on opened, my first experience of having coaching hockey with fun. That led on later on to what is now my hobby and my career. And in between, of course, there was a lot of, like you say, nice things, and there was a lot of adventures. I would say adventures with playing and coaching. I would say the most specific one is when I went from Croatia. I think I was the second one ever that went to play abroad. So first one was Tomislav, that is also part of the HF. And I was the second that just said, okay, I'm going to try my luck. And at that moment, some of the staff back home were also taking. So everything was just in the right way. So I went to Germany. And then after that, basically the horizon and the will, motivation and everything to keep on doing this just got even more and more bigger and more intense. So after that, I would say I was not hooked anymore, I was addicted. So it became an addiction, and thanks to God for over the years, and it's now, I think, for 15 years since 16 that I started playing, it's now become my hobby, my job, my everything. So yeah, quite happy, to be honest.
A self-confessed hockey nerd, aren't you?
Definitely.
Just talk to me about Croatia. How does Croatia, a country that loves its football, loves its sport, probably loves his handball, how does a boy like you become the hockey player and the hockey coach and not become the football player or the football coach? What was that first experience?
The first experience that I had with hockey ever was that there was a lot of things coming in Croatia, so a lot of sports, of course. At that time I was doing judo, so I was not familiar with hockey. Hockey is a big thing. However, it was in the same complex, so I knew about it. And our age around, when I was age 10, I think, they got us as a tryout sport in school. And there was a couple of trainers that did some kind of a test training, I would say. And it was really interesting for me, and it was a close, it was, I think, 10 meters from the indoor hall that I was training judo. So I said, why not? I had my extra time, and I really loved it. On first, it was really a good connection. And later on, I found out that it was also through my parents that the person that was giving the first training was connected. So my mom worked with his wife, so it was becoming pretty difficult not to continue doing this. And the second factor was that all of us, so the group of, I think, 17 friends went all together. So it started as an adventure. And from there on, the sport was really, it was really demanding. It was we became as a team. So it became as a team sport. And in a short period of time, I think we became good. So we can already compete in the first 3 years, I think. And from then on, it went from everybody. It went as a hobby, and from some of us, it opened doors. So pretty quickly we got into the general selection. So that means one before the, it's a regional selection, I would say. But the problem is the region is practically one city, and then you have two smaller. But it's still nice because you get, like, with the age of 14, 15 already to experience how is it to be connected with other people from other clubs, in a group. So not playing against them, but with them. And pretty quickly, I started playing for the national team, and then it was 16s, 18s, 21s, and senior. I didn't make that much caps for the senior. I played a couple of years then, and then I got my first bigger injury. And then I just parallel, I was, of course, always doing trainings with the kids and interaction, everything, because it was pocket money. So it was quite nicely, and it gets you connected. You get connected to different people. So the people that you didn't work with as your coaches, they were your mentors and stuff. So it was a pretty nice experience altogether. And pretty quickly you get in love with everything. So it became a full-time hobby. And from there on in Croatia also, it's quite a big family. So it's a group of an average club. I would say maybe not average. It was, I think now the clubs are around, the small club is around 300, 400 members. And I think the Croatian Hockey Federation with people playing involved, it's bigger right now. But I'd say almost 18, 19 years ago, it was a group of 600, 700 members in total. So it became the big family. And yeah, that's how you survived all of the bumps, ups and downs, and the people put you up. And yeah, from then on, it's quite a chill experience when you have seven clubs, one national team, one. So my generation went, you know, everybody. The process of selection was a little bit different because the amount of people that you had was theoretically you had 30 in the team. Yeah. So the good ones, of course, stayed, and the ones that were more taking it, okay, this is cool, but this is a hobby, they, of course, created like their other lives before. And then as time went, you already filtered the people that stayed, I would say, in short.
And where did the Sportswear's connection fit into that kind of journey? Because, you know, for a Croatian boy to go to meet Thomas Tickleman is, you know, you probably didn't realize who he was at the time until you could step onto a field and you hear words about him. And I still have stories now and of what my first experience with him, and was on the Sportswear's lab through the EHF Coaches for Europe program. And I've never worked so hard as a coach in my life. Or I had to think and had to smile and you know, be on time. And it was just, that memory stays with me for so much. But where did that fit for you, that first experience?
So I would say that I was pretty lucky growing up in the club that I was playing, because my club was also for a number of years champion of Croatia, which opened a lot of doors that you were, I would say, I was constantly involved with junior and senior national teams and European Cups challenges. So we always had a tradition, or you had, such a good generation that was winning a lot. So every year we got introduced to indoor and outdoor. We played European Championship, lower groups, but we started from, I don't know, challenges and then played trophy. And by that, the club always invested a little bit more in coaches. So I was coached by some really, I would say right now, really influenced hockey persons, or let's say the coaches that are now coaching Hofklasse, Oberhansklasse, coach the national teams and stuff. So I was one summer introduced and said like to a coach of mine that was a really nice and beautiful individual to me. We still stay in contact. And he told me like, what do you think about going to Holland for a month? Yeah? So I said, yeah, sounds beautiful. I'm on. But the financial was also a big thing. Yeah, my mom and dad could pay a lot, but 1 month living alone and the housing, it was pretty expensive. So they got me in contact with Thomas Tickleman at the time. That was the founder of Sportways. So they invited me. So I did a overnight camp. So that's 7 days in Amsterdam, and it's all basically paid. So through that, it went skyrocket. So the will of giving training was almost in the same level of my performance on the field by playing. So this is how the doors opened. So it was basically one connection that opened another door. And from there on, it was just like, boom, it was flying. So from then on, I think for 15 years, I was doing this parallel with the after or before the Europeans, and I said it to myself, okay, one time a year, 7 days, I want to be there. I really want to be a part of this family, a group. And yeah, from then on, I have life friends that I met 15 years ago, and it's a challenge on keep on experiencing. Yeah, it was a little bit of a shame in COVID era. For 2 years, it was due to COVID, of course, and everything. I missed some stuff, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that at this summer.
Look, I've done one, and I still talk about some of the stories from that one trip as well. So yeah, you must have some magical adventures and stories. But we're going to talk about your coaching in a minute in terms of some of the adventures that you've been on. But I'm curious as to, from your early days to now, and maybe you can share in a minute whereabouts you're coaching at the moment, but what's that one thing that stayed with you everywhere you've gone? So what is that cornerstone for Tim, the coach, that has stayed with you, that big rock that has stayed with you throughout your coaching so far?
So, I would say that it's basically the passion for what I don't find it as my work. I don't find it as people come back from work and they said that they are tired and they are frustrated. And I can do this 24 hours a day, zero kind of remorse. Yeah, I love it. It's just, it's a hobby. It's a full-time everything for me. So I think this is a milestone for me that I don't have to, in all of the adventures and all of the, wherever I went, this is the thing that kept me like, yeah, you love it. You love your job. You love doing it. So I think it's also love for the sports and love for the way that I do.
Very simple. Very simple. I like it. And just share to us where you are at the moment.
So now I'm in Berlin. From July this year, I'm working with Berliner Hockey Club, which is one of the famous ones in Germany and in Berlin, definitely. And I'm working as a women's first coach. Yeah, so a T1. And I'm also assisting with the men's. And when needed, I also am as a pathway transition from the youth or from the youth school. So I'm there helping out when needed, giving, of course, advice or just being there, being available to all of the clubs, to all of the coaches in the club. So this is the temper. This is what I'm doing right now. I had to put on pause the national teams and temporary also the other stuff that I'm doing due to I really want to make an impact and want to make a good job. I want to make the girls happy, and I want to really commit all of my time and energy and everything fully into this group, because I think there's a massive potential. Also, it's nice to compete on the best level in Germany, so in the Women's Bundesliga. And so I would say that other stuff will wait a little bit until this is getting settled and we are in the flow that I can say, okay, now I can take another adventure again.
You've taken a few adventures maybe in the last, ever since you started, I guess, a few adventures. But what would some of those highlights be on the adventures? And how is that maybe different to now where you are?
So I would definitely say that it was a big dream of mine that I was introduced to HL. So I was there on the platform, not only watching, but actually doing it. So 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, when I got a new job in Austria, I was working with a really beautiful person and a really hockey nerd called Dariusz Rochwalski that was in Arminen. And Arminen had a tradition of an Austrian team that is competing in EHL for some years then. So for the last two years, we were playing KO16 and then KO8. Which is a really big deal, because also Austria is not a big hockey country. They have much more investments and talents than, for example, Croatia. And they are exposed, of course, to international coaches like Robin Roche and Christopher Faust that was doing for a lot of time and a lot of years there. So it was this is a highlight, I would say, of the experience. And what I really, really loved is that the last year we had a chance to step on the Junior World Cup, which I did with under 21 as an assistant coach. And we went to South Africa to play the Junior World Cup, which is an amazing event. So this is like the third that you can have, it's Olympics World Cup and the Junior World Cup. So this is beautiful. That was an eye opener, and it just got me like, yeah, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And I want to try, of course, to have to get more levels right now. So there's two things that I in the future, three actually, because of leaving Austria for Berlin, I was not nominated to go to the indoor World Cup with the Austrian women's team. So yeah, there's still three more tournaments to go.
Non-stop. And yeah. Tim, let's talk EHF education, because that is probably where, or it is where we both first met and share some hilarious moments, some great friends that we still talk about and still in contact with now. And I spoke to someone before this call and I said, I'm speaking to Tim this afternoon. And this person greeted me with a massive smile. And this person also said he still calls me boss. And he still picks up the phone and sends me WhatsApp notes all these years on. Who do you think that person is?
For me, it's pretty simple. Everything with hockey is great, but this was really amazing. I did it for a long period of time. So before the EHF created the C4A, there was also a smaller, every federation hosted, I think, a couple of days of seminars. So it was EHF seminar, but it was just like a small amount of seminars, which I did quite a lot. I think the most impacted one was with Herman Kreuz and in Zagreb. That was long time ago, I think. So before that, it really hooked me that I want to be a part of it. And then when I heard that C4A, so Coaches for Europe, were opening and leading the start of my coaching, official coaching education. Before that, I had a diploma from the Croatian Olympic Society, but that's something different, But it's something different than this. So I was pretty quickly, yeah, I want to do it. And the moment I got on board, it was amazing, and it still is. And it's also an eye-opener for all of the coaches, because you get to get integrated with not only top coaches, so the people that are really into coaching and they have different, let's say, different struggles, different problems. So and you learn a lot from the every individual there. And like you see for yourself, the life takes you in a million directions, yeah? If somebody asked you before C4A that you would ever be coaching in Australia, probably you would not say, yeah, you would want to, but so it's opening. It's also networking. And I still stayed with a lot of people in a good contact. I would say monthly, not weekly. And then after the C4A, I was lucky enough to got selected for the TCP, which was the, I think, the second step. There is one more, right? And this was also starting from mentors and starting from the people that were on the program. It was just, for me personally, amazing. It was a nice experience. I would say that I was lucky enough to have top mentors and top coaches with me, or with us there. And yeah, altogether, it was a beautiful experience, and it still is. Hopefully there is a level 5 still. So this is from FI coming in, and this is the next step in upcoming years. So I'm looking forward to that as a new experience, and of course, meeting new people and getting the horizon even more open, or that, let's say, that it's going from Europe then to the world as a FI. And yeah, I would also like to say the education that was, I found the COVID education that is from FIH. It is online webinars. I found that useful. And I found it also really cool. So every individual presenting, you can get connected with around the world coaches due to the screen, like we're doing right now. So the education was in the end a super successful program for me. And I learned a lot. And yeah, I met a lot of new people, and the horizon just opened and went skyrocket.
Panda was the person I was talking about earlier that, you know, still speaks so highly of you. And it's interesting you talk about there kind of being, you know, reflective. And I look back on that EHF experience that we both shared together. And one, you feel so lucky to be involved in the game you do. I think all the coaches I admire, all the coaches I really believe in have spent time outside of their native country. And I would encourage, like both of us would, to spend time elsewhere. You know, we'd rock up to this seminar, wouldn't we? And there'd be, you know, someone like yourself from Croatia, there'd be someone from Egypt, there'd be someone from all these countries where you think, I didn't imagine hockey there, Finland, Denmark, and all these countries that are maybe not as fortunate as a Germany, a Holland, definitely not an England, where school hockey's everything. And there's five pitches at hockey clubs in Holland. You know, it's so refreshing to spend time with people that share a passion in countries that you maybe didn't have an appreciation for before. And I definitely think I've left the course a lot more self-reflective and a lot more, maybe a bit more humble of where I've come from, and feel so lucky to be involved in the sport that we do.
I would also say that it's a different learning point, right? So for the people that are lucky enough to have everything in the clubs, let's say four fields or something like that, it's you're not used to when a person from smaller hockey country says, okay, I need to make a training with 100 kids on one field, for example. And so you get like the insights of more of different side of organization and different side of programming. Yeah? The same goes for, I was working also from Slovakia Hockey Federation that were quite struggling with a field, man. So they have one field and one half of the field. So it's a challenge. And I love to hear and work with those people, because then it's an eye-opener for you that sometimes it can help your level of coaching or just planning or programming, because those guys or those people have problems that you and me cannot even imagine of. For example, not having 100 balls on the field or stuff. So it's also in one moment educational for you that you see how they adapt with the minimum they have, I would say. So yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's also learning.
And I also think it's an environment where you can't say a comment and then hide behind it. And what I mean by that is you can't say something without actually, one, believing it and actually having some information to support it. Because there's always not someone bigger and better, but there's always someone maybe with a different idea or a different belief or different experiences to you. So I found it a really good experience to say, okay, well, I think this, and this is why I think it, and this is how it would look in practice.
Exactly. I agree 100%. Yeah. It's still, everybody has their own story. Everybody has their own why am I here and what I want to take from. But from the people I know and know, everybody was extremely grateful for the experience, and also went as a better hockey coach in the end, which we all want, yeah, to have more experience and get more knowledge. Yeah. And yeah, knowledge is power, I would say.
Which is power. And I think maybe we should give a couple of special mentions to a few people that have played a bit of a role in that experience of the EHF education. I think mine would be Gore, because well, maybe you can explain. We're both laughing and smiling.
So yeah, I would say, of course, all of the mentors, but then the list would be so big that I'm grateful for everybody. But from the people, yes, I would say that I would say Gore. Yeah, it was a special moment with the presentation of how he maintains, I think he was in Gruzia, right? Or I think it is. So how there is not a possibility, I think he was from Gruzia, right? Or not from Russia.
Yeah.
With the running, with the video, with the running track, and then he was doing hockey on it. Later on, I saw also some stuff similar to that. So it was always a laugh, but in the end, it was how he sees things and how he adapted when they have no feel and it's minus 15 outside. So it's impossible to do anything. And just the motivation, I think he was one of the first that started it there. Or I have to double check. Yeah, that was, I would say, a couple of Denmark. So people from Denmark that played, I know Jakob. Yeah, played on the extremely high level also in indoor especially, yeah, and was always with the national team, and his club played on the international level also, field hockey. So yeah, there was a lot of people that I would say that was impressive and that are coming from smaller hockey nations as me, that had an impressive, I would say, hockey career or another career with an impressive hobby that got them opening some doors that probably they would never think of, yeah, with having their normal jobs, with having their normal lives, and still devoted and investing crazy a lot of time, Jeffrey also. So yeah, there would be a lot. I think the list, it cannot be one individual, the same for the mentors. I think all of the mentors were great. Yeah. And the program is getting bigger and bigger, which means more and more quality of the mentors are coming in and more variety of people joining. So I think the next 5 years, the great things are coming. I'm also reading that Tom is now and doing a great job, and Michelle Keenan also for constantly developing and constantly, expiring the program to be more, to the smaller country get more of people involved. And I know already two Croatians are now again in C4A, which is great. So that means that there are constantly new people in and new flow and new energy.
Definitely. And Tin, what's next for you? What's and we're not talking jobs, but we're talking you as a coach and you as a person. You're a keen learner. You're a hockey nerd, as you say. What's next for you? What are you curious about? What are you looking to develop? What's maybe a challenge you're looking to overcome?
So, there's no big secret of it. I want to, everything that I can get my hands off and the time will allow, from webinars, seminars, education, invites, I will take. So it's only a matter of not my will and determination. It's a matter of actual time that you have in the day, in the month, in the year. So if you say what is the goal right now, there is not a specific one. I would like to, one part of the next couple of years, I go back to some national team. Yeah, so there is a potential then to go to the World Cup. In the best case scenario, Olympics. But in general, it's about getting up to point, getting up to date, making sure that you're learning from other people and making sure that your network gets bigger and bigger. So this is, I think, the most, and everything that will be addition is just an addition. It's beautiful if an addition. And if you ask me right now, what is the planned next adventure? I would really have no idea at the moment what is coming. There is some nice offers, there is some nice things, but we see as the time goes. For now, I think most of the focus would be BHC, Bundesliga. Personally getting into the Bundesliga, I'm here for 6 months. Yeah, there are people doing this for 10 years. So it's also an adjustment from Belgium and Austrian hockey to go directly to the Bundesliga. So I said step by step, slowly improving and making everything count what you do, setting a footprint, called right there,
setting a footprint. I like it. And Tin, I don't think we can do this podcast without mentioning maybe the most famous person in your relationship, which is your girlfriend, who is you can correct me if I'm wrong, has she been involved in more international games than you have? Who holds the stats in the family there?
Yeah, definitely. She is by far. I think international by playing, by refereeing and being there, it's far more. Yeah. So I think she's only now missing the Olympics, and then she has everything. So she's also in two steps better than I am in this one. And I'm also grateful, to have her by my side. Otherwise, I don't think that I would manage to find a person that would be that tolerant with me being so addicted to my job and actually coming from my job home and still having my job. So yeah, I'm super grateful that I have her. And she's now involved now in the Bundesliga as a umpire. And I think it's safe to say that the Paris Olympics is around the corner for her. So unlike me, I'm still taking it step by step. She already has a determined plan what she wants to do coming in. So that's pretty interesting, I would say.
You can carry her bags to the Olympics and you can get an accreditation that way. Yeah. What she taught you, Tin? What has she taught you? And maybe give a little bit more information about what she's up to. And
Playing in a highest level that our federation can say. She played also 100 division in Belgium indoor and outdoor, so she was also achieving that, and having a constant. So it was not 1 year, 2 years in venture. She was doing that for a level, so that's quite impressive. And what I say is a big pointer of the house that I'm much more calmer and nicer to the referees. So the second aspect of the game is that can go sometimes in the other direction. It was much more as a nicer approach. I do understand them, and I try my hardest and my best not to go into that kind of area. So I said, okay, we don't want to focus on them. We don't want to focus on the referees. We want to focus on our own game and our own mentality and our own push. Still hard, but it's much more easier when she's not refereeing your games, which I say that I'm grateful right now. Otherwise, it would be a challenge. If maybe not on the field, then definitely home after the training or after the game.
Tin, let's finish the podcast on maybe a challenge or a focus you're going to set the listeners. Maybe, or we have listeners from even from Croatia or from those smaller countries that are thinking, or they watch the EHL or the Olympics and the European Championships, and they think, you know, maybe I'd like a little bit of that, or I want to upskill the hockey in my community. What would be a challenge and your focus then?
So I would definitely say that just go for it. If you are crazy enough that you're going to understand that this is more than your hobby, I should say just go for it. Don't be afraid if somebody is better than you. Yeah, that just means that he has more experience in doing that. And I would also say that, basically where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah? So if from people from the smaller countries like I was, what you need is just a little bit of a push or inner push by yourself that can do it. You want to do it and you just go for it. I would say just go for it. Yeah. Be determined. Magic. Know what you want. Easy.
Tin, thanks. As easy as that. And thanks so much, because I think you've definitely helped me learn a lot. I think I liked hockey when I came on the EHF coaching course, and I think I left the coaching course loving it. I think I liked it when I arrived, but I loved it when I left. And I feel so grateful to be involved in a sport where we have people so passionate like yourself. And you would always share, and I respect that massively. And it's something that I think everyone should learn. And there's no secrets. I think it was one of your opening lines when we started, that the game is the game. And the people that play it are just people. I think we're so grateful to have you, and amazing.
Thank you for considering hosting and having me. It goes both ways. Eh? I would have to say right now the same for Eye Opener was the cards, right, that you introduced later on and you got me hooked in. I have to say that the kids that are working also were quite happy with this. Yeah, so it's a learning process. Eh? Before that, I was not aware. I was aware that it existed, but if I didn't meet you, I would probably not push for it, or I would not have it in my possession to use it. So it goes both ways. You can learn from everybody, and everybody's learning. It's just an improvement that never stops.
The coaching lab going global. Yeah. Wicked. Tin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Euro Hockey Institute podcast. Follow Euro Hockey Org on all social media to keep an eye out for the next episode.